The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Welcome. Welcome to Happy Hour. I'm going to continue on this theory or this theme of the inner critic. Yeah, it turns out to be really rich, and it's a nice way to kind of like do loving kindness practice or some of this Brahma-Vihara practice in a way that helps us differently than just straight up loving kindness is. I think the inner critic is something that is so prevalent, and yet we don't talk about it. It's so common, and yet part of its nature is it's associated with shame or something like this, or I don't know what it's associated with exactly, but why we kind of don't talk about it and keep it under wraps. So I'm happy to be talking about it and to be, you know, maybe some ways to work with it. One way that I want to talk about a little bit today is this recognition about how the relationship between anxiety and the inner critic. And it definitely goes both ways. I mean, anxiety, this sense of, you know, unease is completely normal. It's natural. It's appropriate. You know, it's a human response. It's connected to our flight, fight, freeze, right? And it's related to kind of like the flight part of the response, wanting to do something. So it's part of our, you might say, the hard wiring for safety. And it's, you know, designed to protect us and help us meet challenges. And because of that, right, it's usually triggered by often an external event, conversation, piece of news, some, I don't know, it's like untold number of things that it can trigger it. I have to cough here just 1 minute. Thank goodness for mute buttons. So when this like external event starts to like it activates the, so I'm just gonna, sometimes when we're unmuted, we make noise and we don't even realize it, right? Because the microphone is right there, often on our laptop. So I'm just gonna mute some of you just so that we don't hear some of that background noise. So these external events, they begin to stimulate thoughts. And some of these thoughts, like who knows what they are, right? But then we start to react to the thoughts with more thoughts. Or there's this way with, we get stuck in this loop of, well, there's anxiety that leads thoughts. And then we have thoughts about the thoughts, which then those second set of thoughts create anxiety. And then there's, because there's anxiety, there's more thoughts. And then right here we go, just round and around. And of course, the quality of those thoughts is often, not always, is often the inner critic. I should have done this. I should not have done that. So this feeling of inadequacy, this feeling of I should have done something. And it often has this kind of like incessant flavor to it. It's just repeating over and over again. So this relationship between anxiety and thoughts, maybe the thoughts themselves are about, you know, how to solve whatever it is that's causing the anxiety. But there also can be this inner critic that's like, oh, I should have thought of this sooner, or why didn't I do that, or something like this. So we can work with either with this whole like kind of inner, I'm sorry, with this whole circular pattern, we can work with anything in that circle and then kind of help interrupt that momentum. So at different times, there might be different things that are, we feel like are more accessible for us to work on. But if we wanted to work on the inner critic so that we can disrupt this momentum, disrupt the kind of like the incessant going around and around, because there's a way once anxiety starts, it's often associated with a bodily feeling and maybe some restless thoughts. But it becomes like a habit. It becomes a way in which it feels like, oh, this is what it means to be alive. This feels, this is what I means to be energized, to have vitality, is to have this buzzing sense of restlessness, or things have to be different, I have to fix it, or something like this. So there might be times in which we find ourselves feeling anxiety, or maybe we're not even exactly sure why, but it might be a little bit that there's a habit that our mind begins to go there just by default. So working with that inner critic that gets activated when there's this feeling of anxious is one way also to interrupt this momentum of this habitual momentum in which there's anxiety independent of an external event. So there's a few ways we can work with this inner critic. And one is to just acknowledge our reactions, like, oh, I'm having this idea that I should have done things differently, or just, you know, to bring kind of the thinking mind on board. And as best we can bring maybe a kind, warm-hearted awareness to the experience. And we might think, well, how would we comfort or support a friend? What would we say to a friend who was reporting being anxious, who is reporting, who is beating themselves up about the anxious anxiety, or they were somewhere in this loop? It might be, I don't know, but one thing we might say is, it's okay. It's okay. This will pass. In a way that's not dismissive, but in a way it's like to remind us that nothing lasts forever. And sometimes it's helpful to be reminded that things have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And there's no telling how long each of those stages are, but everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And sometimes it's just helpful to remind us, oh yeah, we're just in the middle, or we're in the beginning, and we're just not at the end yet. Doesn't mean there is not an end. It just means we're not there yet. So this might be a phrase that we can drop in to support ourselves. It's okay. This will pass. And it's helpful, or maybe I should even say required, to do this with some warm-heartedness, with some care, like we would for a friend. Because, right, this inner critic is kind of sneaky, and it could come up with, it's okay, this will pass, get over it. Why are you still worrying about it? You know, there could be this kind of like this tone that underlies or supports this idea, it's okay, this will pass. So I'm going to add this phrase to the phrases that we've been working with for the inner critic. You can use it if it's helpful. If it's not helpful, there's absolutely no reason to use it. I'm offering a number of phrases, not with the idea that you have to do all of them, but that one or maybe more will resonate. Okay, so with that as an introduction, let's do some meditation. So taking an alert, upright posture. Maybe a few long, slow, deep breaths to connect with the body. Allow some ease. There's a way in which longer exhales can support some releasing of tension. Maybe not all tension, maybe not all the time, but it can be a support. Allowing the breath to return to normal. And just feeling into the sensations of breathing. Relaxed, easy breath. What does it feel like? Feeling the stretching that happens as the body moves with the breath and the release of the stretch around the ribs, perhaps. When the mind wanders, we don't have to make it be a problem. We just begin again. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, which will support our working with the inner critic, let's prime the pump, so to speak. Let's warm up the heart with bringing to mind the most lovable being, whomever that might be for you. A being in which your heart just smiles in some kind of way. This can be being that you actually know, have a relationship with. Maybe it's an imaginary one. Whomever, whatever. Can we tune in to this lovable being? Connecting with this lovable being. And to support our cultivating loving kindness, or support our softening and warming up the heart, we can say these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Can we open to this warm-heartedness? Without straining, it's perfectly fine if it's not there. But can we open and incline the mind and heart towards loving kindness? May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Can we open the heart and mind, incline the heart and mind to include ourselves in this loving kindness? In the same way we do for the lovable being. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. Can check in with the body and see if there's an area of warmth or openness or softness. And if there is, to use that as a support for the loving kindness practice. Maybe that's, you might imagine that that's a support, a source, a fountain. and we extend some warm-heartedness to ourselves, allow ourselves to be nourished, supported by it. And then when you're ready, bring to mind a little bit of something that's causing a little bit of difficulty in your life. Maybe something that's causing a little bit of anxiety. On a scale of 1 to 10, choose something that's like a 2 or a 3. It's really important that we gain the skills to work with uncomfortableness without getting overwhelmed or without making it more difficult than it needs to. It's really helpful to begin with the lower end of the scale. To bring into mind this difficulty, maybe something that causes anxiety, and then from this place of warm-heartedness that we've been cultivating, I offer a few phrases. As I said, you can choose any or all, or maybe you have your own. It's okay. This will pass. It's okay. This will pass. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. may this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. It's okay. This will pass. I'm doing the best I can right now. I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. May this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. So this idea of this relationship between anxiety and the inner critic, and how we can get into a loop. And the anxiety can be triggered by some external event, or maybe it's just a habit to, maybe it's just a habit to have this kind of buzziness, this little bit of, you know, I'm going like this with my hands. It kind of has this feeling of a fast moving or jittery, or I don't know what exactly. And so if we can work with the inner critic, then we can work with sometimes this loop that we get into, or another way to think about it is kind of like what's underneath, like supporting, fueling the anxiety often is the inner critic, just keeping it going. Maybe it wasn't what initially triggered it, or maybe it was, but keeps it going. And then these different phrases. So this last phrase that I offer, like, may this difficulty be held with kindness and ease. That's a little bit more kind of the traditional Buddhist way of, you know, compassion. But the other three, it's okay, this will pass. I'm doing the best I can right now. And I'm in the process of learning new ways, and this takes time. Those, you know, aren't in the Buddhist teachings. Maybe that's not surprising. But this is more of a way to kind of like bring the thinking mind on board, you know, kind of like maybe like borrow some of the wisdom that maybe we don't have access right then, but at other times we do. And so just to remind us of what we already know, but sometimes we just don't tap into that. So some the different phrases, you know, have a little bit different feeling and may or may not be appropriate. So now I'd like to create an opportunity for you guys to talk to each other about this idea of kind of like how anxiety and the inner critic, right, how they're really kind of tangled up and or are this loop that's going round and round. It could be helpful to talk about some of these ideas with others. And, you know, these breakout rooms, they're it's not like true confessions or something like this where you have to tell your deepest, darkest secrets or anything like that. But it's an opportunity to maybe explore some an idea that maybe you wouldn't if you weren't speaking it out loud. But at the same time, we're creating this space for all of you, right? For everybody in the group. It's an expression of this warm-heartedness that we've been cultivating to kind of hold the space for others. So it can be helpful to just say one point rather than telling a big long story. And then it moves to the next person and they say one point. And then it goes to the next person and they say one point. And then it comes back around to the first person and maybe they have a new idea that they wouldn't have had if they had just said everything at the beginning without hearing others, for example. So it's often helpful to kind of like level the playing field between the introverts and the extroverts. So I'd like to suggest that you go in the order of the last digit of your social security number. And for those of you who aren't in America, don't have a social security number, maybe like a driver's license number or any number. I'm looking at you, Marie Christine. I know you're not here. You just choose a number. Okay. So just kind of as a way to help decide what order to go in. Okay. So here we go. Okay. So welcome back. Welcome back. Does anybody have a comment or a question or something they'd like to say or share? Yes, Jerry Cragen.
Thanks, Diana. And I haven't been as consistent attending, so there I am criticizing myself. But in any case, I was at a meeting in Vancouver, British Columbia, and traveling back to Toronto. It's a 4.5 hour flight, at least, and it was a very busy 5 days of business meetings. And I had decided that, I was going to take a break from working on planes and I was going to watch some movie. And so I was watching a movie and there was a movie on. And what I saw about accidents and things like that and issues around it in people's lives is that they often in North America blame themselves. But in this movie, it was clear that there were system problems, you know, that an accident doesn't occur in, let's say a car accident. Well, there might be snow on the road. You might be tired. Yeah, you might, the other person might be looking after their child and distracted. So how many different aspects come together, and yet often the collective is not where we go here. The go is, well, what did you do wrong? Why were you doing this? And so it came to me that, in terms, it's actually a form of loving kindness and compassion to recognize that anytime this an accident or something goes off, there are many different reasons why it occurred, and we should give ourselves some more compassion.
Yeah, right. We don't have to take it so personally. There's untold numbers of conditions that come together to make anything happen. And sometimes we kind of like just tend to assume, oh, it's all because of me. Yeah. Thank you, Jerry, for highlighting that. Okay, well, here we are at the top of the hour. And to say thank you for attending and our practicing together. It's a beautiful thing, I think, that people practice together and that we practice together. So if you'd like, you can unmute and we can all say goodbye at the same time in an unruly way. So bye-bye and thank you.
Thank you, Diana. Thank you, everybody. Good night, Malika.
Good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Neil.
Bye.
Night, Terrence.